to have the data just helps Kelly become smarter and smarter. And whoever owns the data owns the market. And that's true for everything. So if you know what's been bought and sold, what the appraisals were, what people like as far as what people prefer in houses in this area, 90% of houses with an outdoor kitchen sell, that kind of thing. The more data you have, the more information you have, the better able you're going to be to help sell a property or help a buyer buy a property. And if you've got it at your fingertips, it's going to give you a definite advantage over the agents who don't have that information.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent Magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology, and more to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.
Hey, hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent. Last week, we had CEO of First National, Ray Ellis, on the podcast who mentioned that a great company to watch in the US is Keller Williams. And this week, my guest happens to be an agent from Keller Williams from Atlanta, Georgia. Angie Poncel has been with the company for all of her 17 years in real estate, and she says Keller Williams has always been more of a training company than a real estate franchise. But times are, of course, changing, and industry legend Gary Keller is now leading the change from training company to technology company so that his team of 180,000 agents worldwide can meet the changing demands of consumers while taking advantage of big data. Recently, Keller Williams made an interesting purchase out of the company's $1 billion tech fund, a Philadelphia startup called Smarter Agent, which they believe will allow the company to create branded mobile search apps to compete with companies like Zillow. This app already contains a great amount of search data from other groups that have used it along the way. For example, Berkshire Hathaway, the second largest real estate firm in the US owned by Warren Buffett, Sotheby's, and others. Keller Williams have also purchased a large property management software platform, a home inspection product, and a company that is focused on data, artificial intelligence, predictive intelligence, and contract analysis, all evidence of Gary Keller's vision of the company owning their data rather than giving it up to technology companies. But this interview is not all about tech, as it's as much about how to have a successful real estate career through all sorts of markets, how to navigate uncertainties, and Angie's advice for dealing with difficult clients. Enjoy the podcast. So welcome to the podcast, Angie Poncel.
Thank you.
It's awesome to catch up with you again as part of our USA travels, and you're based over in Atlanta in the state of Georgia. So tell us a bit about Atlanta firstly, and a little bit about your area of Sandy Springs.
Well, I would tell you that even though Atlanta is a southern city, it is a very international city, especially in the southeast. We probably have a variety of nationalities, countries, and in my neck of the woods, that's especially true. We're a very mixed bag. The local high school, when my daughter graduated, there were 40 different countries represented in her graduating class.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a really big airport in Atlanta. Like, it's a big hub of the USA, isn't it?
Yeah. It's one of the largest airports in the United States.
I remember getting lost there, actually, years and years ago. So what about Sandy Springs? So that's sort of just outside of Buckhead, which is, if you look at Atlanta, that's the capital of Georgia, and then Buckhead is one of the very affluent cities
right
in Atlanta. So tell us a bit about Sandy Springs and how that relates to all of that.
Well, that's basically where I focus my business, is in Sandy Springs, and it's a suburb. Well, it's its own city, it used to be a suburb. We're now our own city, north of Buckhead. So we're just outside of Atlanta, still considered part of Atlanta, if you will. And it's a growing city. We've got a mixed bag of people, from those who are apartment dwellers to those who are in multi-million dollar properties. I would say we're probably next to Buckhead in affluent neighborhoods. But again, it is a mixed bag. It's why I like being in Sandy Springs, because it's not all one demographic or socioeconomic group. Very diverse.
What sort of properties do you sell? Are they mainly houses, apartments? What do they look like?
I am mainly houses. When Sandy Springs was built, it was built in the 50s, 60s. And we do have some tear downs and new builds going on. But where I live and the neighborhoods I focus on are mostly 1960 ranch houses. So a ranch house is just one level living with a basement. So it's not necessarily on a big piece of land.
So, look, I hate myself asking this question, but I have to. Do you know any of the Real Housewives of Atlanta? It's a very big show here.
Actually, I do.
Oh, my God.
Sheree Whitfield. I know Sheree, and her daughter is one of my daughter's best friends. I actually went to the unveiling of Sheree's chateau. So if you look at that episode, I was there. You know, it was quite interesting. I got to meet the human Barbie doll, Ken. I think he's on Botched a good bit.
I haven't seen that show, and now I'm definitely going to look up The Real Housewives of Atlanta too.
You got to look it up. You got to look up that episode. You'll see me on there.
So we met originally in Australia last year, and you met quite a few agents over here during that time. What do you think are the differences between being in real estate in Australia and being in real estate in the US?
Well, in the US, it's kind of wide open as to your territory, so to speak. I focus on Sandy Springs, but I don't have to. I can work all over Atlanta. Keller Williams, there's a lot of expansion teams where somebody may be based out of Seattle, but they have developed a team in Atlanta. So they have a team in Atlanta, in Seattle, in San Francisco, wherever, and they're managing all those teams across the United States. That's one example. But compared to Australia, and I was in Melbourne and Sydney and the Gold Coast, so I wasn't out of the cities that much. But what I observed in the cities seemed to be everybody's got their set territory. They don't go outside of that.
Yeah, particularly in the built-up areas, I think agents work on 1,000 to 1,200 houses. Like some areas are bigger, obviously, where it's more rural. That's interesting. So the other major difference, I guess, between the US and Australia is that you have more buyer's agents than we do. Which side do you prefer to work on, the listing side or the selling side?
Historically, I'm probably 75% listing, 25% buyers, but in any given year, that can change. I will tell you that what the training tells you is to get listings, because listings get you business, because you have your sign out there and you can get a lot more business off of your listings. Mm. I do like working with buyers though. And yes, most buyers are represented by an agent. Not all of them. Now that we're getting into a more digital age, not all the buyers necessarily have an agent because they can look up the houses themselves online. As a listing agent, I like it when the buyers are represented, because then I'm dealing with another agent and the emotions are taken out of it and we're able to get the deal done versus having to deal with the buyer directly, which in some cases I've had to do. It makes for a harder transaction. If I was just the listing agent and the buyer was not represented, the buyers tend to not have confidence that even though you have an obligation to treat them as a customer and to be ethical, when the buyers aren't represented, I don't know that they have a lot of faith in your sales pitch to what the house is worth and what they should be doing or not doing, because you're representing the seller.
What you're saying in terms of having unemotional representation on both sides.
Exactly.
Makes really good sense. So you work for Keller Williams. You're part of the Keller Williams brand, which is a brand that is not in Australia yet, but we know quite well over here, as we've heard of Gary Keller and he's pretty famous. Have you always worked for Keller Williams?
I have, actually. My husband is a commercial builder and he renovated some apartments into condos and had a Keller Williams agent represent him. I was in medical sales, and my company got bought out, and one thing led to another, and I ended up trying my hand at real estate and came into Keller Williams because I'm not a traditional kind of person, and I didn't like the traditional companies, and Keller Williams had a different model, and this was 20 years ago when they were just having gotten started.
So what's different about the Keller Williams model compared to, say, other groups or franchises that we know?
The more traditional companies will charge you a percentage of your commission, a split, and that's negotiated depending on how much business you bring into the brokerage. It could be a 90-10, it could be an 80-20, 70-30, and that's on every single deal you do. Doesn't change. Now, with a REMAX, you're just paying a set fee, and then the commission is yours to keep, most of it. They don't provide a whole lot as far as education or support, but those are for the more experienced agents. But Keller Williams is, we call it a training company, and now we're moving into a technology company that just happens to be in real estate, and it provides the agents with the tools and the wherewithal to build your business. And you are doing a split, but it's up to a certain amount, depending on your market center, what city you're working in. And once you cap, that's what we call it, once you hit that amount, then the rest of it's yours to keep. And we also share our profits with those who help build the company. So we're privately owned. We don't do any advertising, and we do profit sharing.
So that puts you in the position of being a true entrepreneur. You would sell up to a particular point where you split your commission with the group.
Right.
And then after that, it's 100% yours. And then you share it with whoever your team happens to be, and you can organize your team in any particular way.
Absolutely. That is one of the things I like about Keller Williams is you're a Keller Williams agent, but yet you can brand yourself to be whoever you want your team to be. Typically, teams will have their own name under the Keller Williams moniker. So it's kind of a shared spotlight, so to speak.
So your brand is Angie Poncel, but you're part of the larger Keller Williams. So it's your brand and your business, but you've got the big brand behind you.
Exactly.
And their systems and processes and training and all of that sort of stuff.
Yes. And I think we've been voted number one training company several years in a row. And now we're shifting to technology.
Now, I've always thought of Gary Keller as a thought leader. And I met another Keller Williams agent a couple of years ago in Hawaii, actually. And one of the questions I love to ask agents is, what do you wish you'd done sooner? And he straight out said, I wish I'd met Gary Keller sooner. So have you ever met Gary personally? And has he ever given you any good advice?
Well, I've never met him personally, but Gary gives us a lot of advice. But probably the biggest thing that I think he has said or written is the one thing. I think that is some of the best advice he's ever given, is focus on one thing that will change your business or make a difference in your business. And then it's just a domino effect from there.
So decide what your one thing is in your business and then keep the one thing, the one thing.
Yeah. And once you've mastered that, then get another one thing. But today, ask yourself, what's the one thing I can do that will make a difference in my business? Whatever that is, needs to be your main focus. And once you've mastered that, then go on to the next thing. But it's kind of like agents get the shiny object or squirrel syndrome where they're chasing after everything because there's a million ways you can get business through social media, through farming, door knocking, buying leads on Zillow, but you got to find what's authentic to you and what's that one thing that's going to make the difference in your business.
That's really great advice. You've mentioned a couple of times that Keller Williams has traditionally been a training company and now becoming a technology company. What messages is Gary giving the company about real estate and technology right now?
That we are in a technology revolution, and we're in a race to see who can come out the door first with their platforms. And I mean, I'm biased, but I think Keller Williams is ahead of everybody because we've been working on this for a few years. And I think in the next 5 years, you're going to see a lot of people in the industry fall out because they don't have it or they can't keep up. I still think you're going to have your little boutique agencies out there, but I do think you're going to see some of the players that are here now are not going to be here in a few years.
We're definitely seeing some consolidation out here as well.
Well, and I can tell you the big difference between Keller Williams and a lot of our competition is they're public or they have investors that they have to answer to, and we're private. We don't have to answer to anybody. We don't have to get permission from anybody.
How does that really make a difference on the day-to-day?
I think if you're building a technology company and you're trying to decide, am I going to buy Smarter Agent, which we bought? Am I going to buy another company that will help us? You're not having to go to your investors with your plan of action as to what you want to spend your money on and justify it. You hire the greatest technology team you can find and you make those decisions and move forward. And speed is going to be important as to who gets it first and who comes out of the gate first.
Yeah, interesting. So if I could just rephrase that a little bit, we're living in a time where you need to be able to go out there and try new things and test new things, because elite agents are small business, and sometimes we make decisions where Mark and I turn around to each other and we say, okay, let's try this, and he'll say yes, and that's it. We don't have to take a business case to anyone,
right,
other than each other. So that's what you're saying with Keller Williams, is if it looks like something is going to benefit the company, then you can just do it rather than going through shareholders and all of that sort of thing.
Exactly. And I do think that in the past, it's been let's perfect this product before we bring it to the market. And you can't have that mentality anymore. You've got to get it close to right, get it out there, and tweak it as you go.
You can't fail fast when you can't get it approved fast.
Right. Exactly. And that's the difference in Keller Williams being able to build our end-to-end platform. We've been working on it 2 years now, so we're ahead of the game that way, and we're failing forward. We're making it up as we go along, and agents are using it. We've developed labs where agents are testing out these products and using them in their everyday life so far, and changing it and tweaking it as they go.
Yeah, interesting. So we have heard a lot about the technology that Keller Williams has developed out here with Keller Cloud. And I think Kelly, the virtual assistant, well, she's artificial intelligence, isn't she? Is Kelly male or female?
Well, I think she's female because, well, I guess Kelly can be male or female. That's a good question. I think it's whatever you want it to be.
I'm picturing Janet in The Good Place.
Yeah, I think of Kelly as female, but I don't know that everybody else does.
So both of those tools have been in the news a lot lately. Have you had a chance to use either of them, and how do they fit into the broader Keller Williams strategy for the future?
Well, the cloud is where the data is held, and Kelly is what uses that data, the artificial intelligence. And Kelly is getting smarter and smarter every day. The more we use her, and yes, we're using her now, the smarter she will be. Right now, we use her to refer business to other Keller Williams agents. You can see how much business they're doing in their respective cities, what their specialties are, if you have a client moving to that city to refer them to. She can also give us market snapshots of a certain neighborhood or city. You can type in, Kelly, give me a market snapshot of the area I'm in, or Rivershore states where I live. And then I can text that to a client. Here's the latest and greatest. Because what the consumers want is they want instant information as to what's my house worth, like on Zillow with Zestimate. We all know it's not as accurate as real data, but it doesn't matter. All it matters is, did my value go up or down? And you know, at that point, when you're ready to list, you'll call in an agent to help you tweak that value. But the consumers are going to look at what their house is worth and where do they stand against the competition. Or they're perusing the site to see what's active out there, what's available for the buyers. And so we hope to have a platform that consumers will want to use because it'll be beneficial to them to use it, to be able to see what their house is worth, to get a snapshot of their neighborhood. And we want it to be intuitive. Like when you go on Amazon, and I'll give you an example. It's Christmas. I'm Christmas shopping. My daughter wants a flat iron. Now, every time I go on my computer, there's a flat iron. But that is artificial intelligence making your life easier. And that's where we see this technology going to replace the functionary role, the task that an artificial intelligence system could easily do for the agent, but it won't ever be able to replace the fiduciary role that an agent does. It won't replace the agent. It will just enhance that agent. So you're going to see the lazy agents, the agents that don't respond to their clients, the agents that suck in customer service. You're going to see those get out of the business because they're not going to be able to hang. But the good agents, it's only going to make their business better.
So where we're heading with all of that is, I think that's something that's being said a lot here as well, is that technology won't replace agents, but agents will need to use technology a whole lot better in the future to meet the expectations of consumers.
Exactly. And the agents that are not embracing technology are not going to fare very well.
So recently, Keller Williams purchased that Smarter Agent app. We saw that in the news. So what sort of competitive advantage is that going to give Keller Williams moving forward?
Well, Smarter Agent supports the mobile sites for the agents. So it feeds the search engine for the mobile agent sites.
Like the MLSs?
Yeah, the MLSs. So it does that for Keller Williams. It does it for a number of companies, Berkshire Hathaway. And now we own Smarter Agent. So now we own that data.
So this is how consumers are searching for properties and things like that?
Right. To have the data just helps Kelly become smarter and smarter. And whoever owns the data owns the market. And that's true for everything. So if you know what's been bought and sold, what the appraisals were, what people like as far as what people prefer in houses in this area, 90% of houses with an outdoor kitchen sell, that kind of thing. The more data you have, the more information you have, the better able you're going to be to help sell a property or help a buyer buy a property. And if you've got it at your fingertips, it's going to give you a definite advantage over the agents who don't have that information.
So if you're marketing a property, let's say, and you have enough data to say this demographic are interested in backyards and this demographic are interested in bathrooms and this demographic are interested in kitchens, then when you're chasing them around the internet, let's just call it, you know what to put in front of them. So instead of putting a backyard in front of a young person, you might put a nursery in front of a young person who might be about to have a baby or something like that.
You're exactly right. That's what the system's going to be able to do. As you're searching, just like when I was searching for the flat irons, as you're searching, what you spend more time on will start popping up first. So if it is somebody who's really into the backyard, that's going to start popping up first. Or somebody who looks at the kitchen first, then as they're searching, those pictures are going to come up first versus the front of the house, which is typically what comes up first.
Yeah, that's what everyone's taught, I think, is that the hero shot has to be the front door. So with this trend of personalization, what you're saying is that it really depends on the consumer. If all they want is a big backyard so that they can fit, say, a big dog in the backyard, then when they're looking for somewhere to live, they'll be looking at the backyard first because we can rule out that that house is not going to be any good if the backyard isn't appropriate. And we want to rule that out more quickly rather than scrolling through a heap of images to try and find out what the backyard looks like.
Exactly.
Yeah, interesting. So you've been in real estate for, is it 17 years, I think you mentioned?
Yeah, 17 years.
So another question I ask all agents is there something that you wish you'd known when you started out, or is there any other advice that someone's given you that you wish you'd had a bit earlier?
I think some of the best advice I've ever gotten was don't waste your time on a difficult client, because as you're focused on this difficult client, you're missing three good clients that are passing you by because you're so focused on this one client. And then the other bit of advice is if you are so worried about that one client, you don't have enough business.
You don't have enough clients.
Yeah, you don't have enough clients.
That's good advice. Do you think we'll ever see Keller Williams come to Australia?
Yes, absolutely, without a doubt. We're in 28 plus countries, so I can't imagine that we won't come to Australia. We've become very global. In fact, I'm looking at getting my certified international property specialist. And Keller Williams is becoming more and more global, which I think will be the next step for Keller Williams. After we've mastered this technology, we'll be connecting us worldwide. Because most of this technology is just in the United States. But to me, that next step will be connecting all Keller Williams agents worldwide. That's what you're going to see with the 180,000 Keller Williams agents across the globe, is you're going to see that connection happen.
Any other predictions for real estate in 2019?
Everyone's predicting the market's going down. There's a shift going on. I think there definitely is a shift. I know you had said there's one in Australia as well. Mm. For those who are in the business to stay in the business, lifers, so to speak, shifts are great because it's a time when most agents are going to get out of the business and the rest of us can build up our brand and we have less competition. And there's always buyers and sellers. No matter what cycle you're in, no matter what market you're in, there's always somebody buying and selling.
With a long career yourself, you've been through a few cycles. How do you generally approach a downturn in the market?
Flexibility. If you're traditionally a listing agent and you focus on $2 million houses and there's a downturn in the market, then you better start becoming a specialist in the lower priced homes or helping first-time home buyers take advantage of the fact that the prices are going down. And I think that's the key, is being flexible and not being stuck in your little niche, but branching out during the downturn. You have to be sure that you're not specializing in something that's not moving at the moment. During the last downturn, I helped a lot of clients rent their homes, even though I'm not a rent agent. I don't typically do those, but I did then because my clients couldn't get what it was worth and they wanted to hang on to them. So I became good at helping my clients rent their homes until the market got better, and then we listed them for sale. You got to be flexible. You got to be willing to shift your business with the market. You also have to work on your sphere of influence during the downturn and really make sure that you're taking care of your core clients. And I think that that's another thing that keeps you viable in all markets is, yes, you have the technology and, you know, we've discussed that technology, but what's going to keep us in the game is taking care of our clients, customer service.
Absolutely. So are we going to see you back in Australia sometime soon? I hope so, because we still owe you another lunch.
Well, don't worry. I'll make good on it.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for talking to us again, Angie. It's been such a pleasure talking to you, and good luck for Christmas in 2019, and we hope to see you here soon.
Thank you, Sam. It was good talking to you.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.